For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for one more week for Bob Levicky. JMU freezes tuition. The Cavaliers decline. Albemarle Police won't make you wait long. And offshore drilling opponents score a victory. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, April the 29th, 2019. The Virginia men's basketball team ended weeks of speculation Friday in declining an invitation to celebrate its NCAA tournament championship with President Trump at the White House. The Daily Progress reports that coach Tony Bennett cited scheduling difficulties in declining the invitation. The possibility of Virginia visiting the White House caused some unrest among fans. An online petition urging the team against such a visit had accumulated more than 15,000 signatures by the time of Bennett's announcement. Other fans on social media expressed hope that UVA would visit the president. Neither a Virginia team spokesman nor the White House responded to further requests for comment. Authorities say five men have been rescued from a cave in southwest Virginia where they became trapped after heavy rains. WHSV reports that a Virginia Department of Emergency Management search and rescue coordinator said that all five men were taken to hospitals after being pulled from the cave on Sunday. He added that they were suffering from hypothermia and exhaustion. Officials say six men entered Cyclops Cave near Cleveland and had planned to camp overnight Saturday until conditions worsened because of drenching rains. The rains also made it difficult for them to get out. A 22-year-old man managed to get out at about 2 a.m. Sunday and alerted authorities that the others, ranging in age from 34 to 59, remained behind, suffering from fatigue and cold. In the South Side, Danville residents seem to have mixed feelings about the possibility of a casino coming to town, and that's been among the most read stories over the past week at the Virginia Public Access Project's VA Newslink. More now from Fred Eccles.
Virginia's latest idea for helping economically depressed communities is legalizing casino gambling. One of the places that would be eligible is Danville. As we hear from David Poole with the Virginia Public Access Project, local government is enthusiastic, but not everyone shares that feeling.
The story is by John Crane, a reporter with the Danville Register and Bee. And he just went around town talking to people, the classic man on the street. What do you think of a casino, a big gambling operation coming to Danville? And got a real mixed reaction. There were some people who thought it would be good for jobs, and others weren't so sure. They felt like they had some moral objections to gambling and thought, a lot of people in the area are struggling economically and maybe not the best thing to have them spending their money on gambling. It might replace one problem with another, some people said.
David, city leaders make the case for economic benefit. How do they back up that argument?
The city has gone off and hired a consultant who gave them some numbers that said a casino with the huge investment they're talking about, at least $200 million, would generate $12 million a year in local taxes. That would go for schools and other needed services, and that could grow to $20 million in taxes by 2028. And according to this study, by 2028, if everything went well, the city could end up with 5,400 additional direct jobs related to the gambling operation.
The state has a study underway right now. It should be finished by December. After that, the General Assembly will decide whether to go ahead. We should note this is not statewide legalization that we're talking about. It would be limited to specific areas. David Poole is with the Virginia Public Access Project. I'm Fred Eccles.
The Albemarle County Police Department is trying to implement a squad-based system to help with crime response times. WVIR reports that the change follows the release of the county's 2018 annual police report, which showcased how response times went down in 2017. A squad-based system helps officers more reliably respond to emergencies quickly. In 2017, the average response time to priority calls was a little more than 5 minutes, with response times closer to 4 minutes for urban areas and 10 minutes for rural areas. In 2018, response times were down for priority and urban calls by almost a minute, while rural times increased a minute. A spokesman for the department said that to ensure that all response times keep decreasing, officers are analyzing the size and structure of individual beats to see if the size of the beat needs to be adjusted to accommodate an increase in calls for service. From 2017 to 2018, the number of calls for service increased a little over 1%. Opponents of offshore drilling were encouraged Thursday by the Trump administration's apparent decision to temporarily abandon plans to open virtually all federal waters to offshore drilling. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
Sierra Weaver, senior attorney for the Southern Environmental Law Center, says,
I hope that indefinitely delayed is Washington speak for never.
President Obama had banned drilling in most Arctic waters and parts of the Atlantic. President Trump tried to overrule that, but last month, a district court in Alaska said that order was unlawful and invalid.
Whatever the reason for this delay, what we know is that more than 230 communities have spoken out against seismic blasting and offshore drilling in the Atlantic.
It means President Obama's ban remains in place until revoked by Congress, where the House is now controlled by Democrats. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Full disclosure, the Southern Environmental Law Center underwrites programming on WMRA. For the first time in 18 years, the James Madison University Board of Visitors voted not to raise in-state tuition costs for undergraduate students. The board met Friday, and members were presented with the finance department's recommendations, which the board approved. Helping to hold tuition at current levels was a $6.1 million increase in state funding approved by the General Assembly that will help JMU address a number of increased expenses for the coming academic year. These include some state-mandated increases, as well as faculty and staff compensation increases, new facilities operation and maintenance costs, scholarships and financial aid, maintaining faculty-to-student ratios, and strategic initiatives. Board of Visitors member Mike Thomas said that tuition for out-of-state students and auxiliary costs for all students will have to increase in order to maintain the 16-to-1 faculty ratio. For the coming academic year, tuition will remain $7,300 for in-state freshmen and sophomores and $6,600 for juniors and seniors. JMU ranks 9th in the state for total in-state tuition, required fees, and room and board for the current year at nearly $23,000. It also ranks 9th for out-of-state costs at nearly $40,000. And finally today, when it comes to financial education in high schools, the Old Dominion leads the nation, as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Virginia is one of only 5 states that require high school students to have financial education or demonstrate financial literacy in order to graduate. That earns Virginia a grade of A from the Center for Financial Literacy at Champlain College in Vermont. John Pelletier is director at the center.
I commend the public policy initiative of Virginia. You're a leader in this space. And I certainly hope that many more states follow your lead.
Does financial literacy education really improve financial outcomes and behaviors? One study from 2014 concluded it had a minimal impact. But Carly Urban at Montana State University says research since then has shown financial education requirements in high school improve financial decision making.
It's been a moving wave in the last couple of years. There's been an increase in the states that are passing these financial education reforms. And I think understanding what's happening and keeping our eyes on the landscape is really important so we can see how we can maybe improve the policies of other states.
Members of Congress are currently considering a bill that would make the kind of financial literacy education that happens here in Virginia a requirement for all states. I'm Michael Pope.
And for WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.